Well, good afternoon and good morning, depending on where you guys are.
Good, yes, morning.
Good morning / afternoon. How you doing, Paulie?
Well, you know, I can't complain.
No, I'm sure you can. It just probably wouldn't do any good, right?
What's the point?
Yeah, I got you. How you doing, James?
I have no complaints, Rick.
Okay, and you, Phil? How you doing, buddy?
Doing fine.
Good, good. It's been an interesting morning of services so far.
Yes, it has.
I can tell you guys are the talkative bunch today, aren't you?
Well, I'm sitting here trying to remember what Steve started. At least he started in Philippians. So, I know I was in 2 Corinthians 10. And we've just kind of banged all around.
Well, what I heard today in both services was how we need to be willing to call in for support.
Yep. And Charlie was talking about that.
Charlie was talking about it. Phil, you started your service off today about, you know, needing an airstrike because you were pinned down, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what's going on, man.
I just needed refocusing. Needing remindance and refocusing.
It's just one of those things where every morning it's a choice that you make to refocus yourself because you weren't getting ministered to during the night. There's no telling what you were doing in your head. So you wake up in the morning and stuff jumps all over you. It's the way it happens.
Well, I think it's a topic worth discussing if you guys want to talk about it a little bit, and maybe we can find some scriptures that are relevant. But I mean, I think we all run into situations where we get a little overwhelmed at times.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What stops us from seeking the help we need? I mean, what is it that we run into that's, you know, where's the disconnect?
Disconnect is in our nature, that I'm carnal man. And you have to shake that off and choose to reconnect in the spirit. Every morning, set your affection on things that are above. Philippians 4, where Paul talks about whatever's good, whatever is. Let me get it before I go screw it up.
That's one of those that you need to read it, unless you really know it, because it goes too many different directions. Or you can just you start just throwing in stuff, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
Just because it sounds good.
Let's see. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It's a long version of set your affections on things that are above. Because
the other sign of that is that wherever we are, if we are the Lord's and we love Him, then His hand of deliverance is close at hand.
Right.
Let me jump in with some scripture here. I know that we had started weeks ago before the conference looking at scriptures, and we probably need to get back to it, but we have been reading Samuel with the family in the morning, most mornings anyway. Let's see. And we are going to look at chapter 13.
Of which Samuel?
1 Samuel.
Okay.
Okay, so we run into circumstances all the time that we feel that we're in over our head. Is that sort of like where you were, Phil?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I mean, it may not be applicable to you in this instance, but I know at times you have felt like you're in over your head.
Yeah.
I know there are times I feel I'm in over my head. Paul, do you ever feel like you're in over your head?
All the time.
James, what about you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we all at times feel in over our head, whether it's with our family or whether it's with our job or whether it's with the work the Lord has given us. And if we're compartmentalizing all of that, then we've sort of need to go back and regroup in the first place, because all of those things are the works that the Lord has given us to do. But I know that there are times I feel absolutely inadequate and completely in over my head. And that's a good thing, because it's in those times that God is able to bring deliverance in a miraculous way, and then He gets the glory and not us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So let's take a look at Saul here, and this has been just an interesting study as we've gone through this in the mornings. But here's Saul. I mean, he's been chosen king. Now, go back and you see where God gave Saul a new heart. I mean, Saul had been, you know, he had been given every advantage. We've been given every advantage, have we not? I mean, we've been given His word, we've been given His spirit, we've been given His grace. I mean, we have every advantage, but they're only an advantage to us if we receive them and make use of them. So here's Saul. Phil, are you up to read?
Sure.
Okay, verse 1, chapter 13. We're going to try and blitz through this kind of quick so we can get to the point. So go ahead.
Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits.
Okay, stop for just a second. Let's do look at the magnitude of the situation here. How many guys does Saul have? How many guys does Saul have?
Oh, 3,000.
So he had 2,000 hit with him, sort of split up, and Jonathan had 1,000, and Jonathan went up and poked the bear in the eye.
Yeah.
Essentially, okay? I mean, they went and poked the bear in the eye. And then sort of stuff starts going downhill in a hurry. Now, Saul's got 3,000, and the Philistines gathered together how many?
36,000 and plus, I guess, foot soldiers.
As many as they can't count.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, but I can understand being a little bit concerned about the disparity of numbers here.
Just a shade.
A little bit. little bit. So we're talking about a situation that's looking pretty bad. Well, let's see how Saul handles it, starting at verse 7.
And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was in Gilgal, and the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering.
Stop.
And it...
Okay, let's continue setting the scene here. Things are looking ugly. Samuel had a 7-day window where he was supposed to show up and give sacrifice, and he was a no-show, at least within the time, the 7 days. So Saul takes it upon himself to do a sacrifice. Let's see how this worked out for him.
And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering."
All right, stop. Now, we're going to get to the punchline here in a minute. We're not quite there yet. You know, Saul had a problem. What was in the verses we just read there? Now, granted, everything was looking pretty bad. And I could hazard to guess that if I was a dude with 3,000 guys facing a lot more than 3,000, at least 36 plus foot soldiers, and all the people that are supposed to, that I'm ruling over, have decided to split city, I can pretty much guess what I'd be doing. I'd probably be giving somebody else my robes and saying, "Saul who?" I don't know. Who's Saul?
Yeah.
I mean, in the natural, it's easy to see why Saul was flustered and scared crazy. You know, I told a joke when we were going through this, and I'm sure you all have heard it. But, you know, it's like the old joke where the, we'll use a British commander this time. British commander is out in his ship and he's fighting. And every time he fights, he calls his first mate and he says, "Bring me my red shirt." This happens over and over and over. And one time the first mate asks him, he says, "You know, Captain, why do you ask for your red shirt?" He says, "Well, it's very easy. You know, if we're in the middle of battle and I get hit, I don't want the men to see blood and then lose heart. I want them to keep fighting." Hey, that makes perfect sense. So, you know, this continues on, and then at some point he's facing the, you know, it's like 7 or 8 to 1, the Spanish armada's bearing down on him. And he looks there, and the first mate comes, "Captain, Captain, do you want your red shirt?" And he says, "No, bring me my brown pants." You know, that's a bad joke, especially in the Bible study. But the point is that I can understand Saul's being poop scared here.
Mm-hmm.
But what Saul didn't realize is that all of this was actually being orchestrated by God for a purpose. And he, because he didn't trust God and feared the people. Let's look at verse, let's see. Verse 11, when Samuel says, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and thou didn't now, and that thou camest not within the days appointed." Why did he do it? Was it really to sacrifice to God? Was his intent really to, you know, give respect to the Lord in preparation for the battle? What was his intent?
his intent was to show God was unfaithful.
Well, he believed God was unfaithful. That's why he did it. But he was trying to do whatever he thought he could do to shore up his position in the people, in the eyes of the people. And if you go and you read the next story, as we see that's going to come up here shortly with Saul, you know, the whole, you know, to obey is better than sacrifice thing, when he was supposed to kill everything, and Samuel shows up and he says, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord," and Samuel says, "Really? When what's this bleeding the sheep I hear?" I mean, that's coming up, but this issue that Saul had, I mean, we're seeing the precursor to the absolute fall right here.
Yeah, he never does get rid of it.
So here he is operating well outside his bounds, well outside his authority. And it's because he fears the people. And I'm trying to make the point that I can understand why. I mean, theoretically, I've never been in a situation where I'm facing 40,000 plus people, who knows how many, and I've got less than 10% to counter with. I mean, I've never been there, but I've been in places where I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. And I don't know how many times I have not been patient and waited for the Lord in it. And I'm learning to, when I get in those situations, to go get in my closet and pray and seek the Lord, which is what you were talking about today, Phil. When we get in over our head, or we get things that are just, we don't know how we're going to deal with this, what I want to encourage us to realize is this is the opportunity for God to work a miracle.
Yeah, amen.
Let's look at what happens next here. Verse 12.
"Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever."
Stop. The whole point of this was God was about to bring a deliverance that would have established Saul and his kingdom, just like he says here, forever. We get into places in our life that seem impossible. Impossible to deal with. There is no way out. I mean, I have felt that way before. James, have you felt that way before?
Yes, sir.
Give me an example of when you have felt that way.
Well, I mean, even just working at AutoZone and not having enough money to cover the bills, and yet the Lord provided for us through it all.
We've talked about your situation several weeks back, where you were looking at an impossible thing, and your choice to go to that conference the first time. You know, to take everything you had in the bank, and instead of paying your mortgage or your bills, to go to the conference after just having gotten a job. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, sir.
But it is exactly. It puts you in a place for God to work a miracle, because God likes to work in the impossible. It's impossible for us, but it's absolutely possible for Him.
That's where He can prove Himself.
That's right. And we so often will short circuit His desire to prove Himself to us because we lose heart, we let fear take over. We get our eyes on all the circumstances and take our eyes off of Him. We get afraid of people. We get afraid of what our family's going to think. We get afraid of what our wife's going to think. We get afraid of what our children are going to think. And all the time, the Lord is just right there wanting to work a miracle in our lives. but we short-circuit his plans because we start giving into that unbelief. And I can look at this situation Saul's in, and I can say, look, I get it. I don't know that I would have done anything different. I would have been poop scared just like him. But none of us are dealing with this situation, are we?
No.
I mean, if we're putting it on a scale, are the things that we give into, where we give into unbelief, are on a much, much smaller magnitude.
Yeah, it takes a whole lot less to get us that kind of scared.
But the whole point of this, the whole purpose of this, was the Lord was going to establish Saul, and by that was going to establish himself. If you go back and read how Saul became king, I mean, Samuel just laid out sign after sign after sign after sign after sign. I mean, the Lord had been evidently established to Saul. And despite that, he just didn't get it. And we are so much like that. I mean, I know me, and I know Paul, I know James, I know Phil. The Lord has been evidently established to each and every one of us over many, many years. We can trust him.
Yep.
And you folks out there that are struggling, and we all struggle, the Lord wants to evidently establish himself to you so that you can know that you can trust him. The things that go on in our life that are just too hard to bear, they are too hard for you to bear. That's why the Lord has made a way to take those burdens from us. Everything that we go through that's more than we can handle is expressly there to show us we can't handle it. We need Jesus. And when we can learn that, when we can actually rest in that, then those things that seem impossible, we can say, yeah, that's impossible. But God, with God, it is possible. You know, if you see the contrast between Saul and David, David didn't live in the place that God can't. He lived in the place that God can.
Yeah.
Paul, why don't you share some examples of how this has worked in your life?
Gosh. My existence was very narrow. I had let very few people in that I either trusted or loved or cared about in any way, shape, or form. You know, it isn't natural to me to be gregarious and I'm a loner, and I was a loner who had a family, and then I was a loner without a family, and I heard his testimony being delivered to me for years that I was a minister for Jesus Christ. And I said, I can't refer this thing from that, man. Come on. And, you know, then way out in left field, at least it was left field to me, I was delivered this challenge to take over this ministry here. While you were going out to Arizona. And I had not got much experience at, you know, caring for anybody but me. I was selfish and scared out of my mind. It was something that I was absolutely not, it had no experience base to draw on. And I had been given a job that required complete and utter reliance on the Lord, something else that I had not had an experience base to draw from. So the whole concept scared me, but the concept of not doing it scared me worse is what really how it worked out. And I had to choose to believe the testimony of those over me. And I've done it well sometimes, and I've done it horribly sometimes, but the Lord is always good.
Yeah, I remember kind of you getting thrown in the deep end, Paul, on that one. But the fruit of that has yielded incredible growth in you and those that have been willing to learn under you.
Yeah, it has.
And in that impossible situation, when we are in those impossible situations, when we submit ourselves to the Lord and follow His, just follow His rules, even though it doesn't make sense to do so. Samuel says to Saul here, you have disobeyed and have, in verse 13, thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. When we deviate from the Lord's plan, it shows in us that choosing unbelief over choosing faith in God. And it's so easy to want to do that. I mean, goodness, all day long and every day, there is options and opportunities that the enemy throws at us, or gosh, we make our own problems. And there's constant chances for us to choose unbelief, because sometimes it's just so hard in our own minds, at least that's what our carnal man tells us, it's just so hard to see it going any way other than horrible. But that's when we absolutely have to dig down and reach out for help. We reach out to those people the Lord's put over us. Why? Because, you know, I may be going through something that is difficult to me, but Paul, you may have been through it a dozen times, and you can say, look, man, I've been there, done that. Let me tell you how many times the Lord has helped me out of that situation. And that will give me the encouragement I need, or at least the opportunity to be encouraged. Still have to receive it. But at least will give me that opportunity to be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord so that I can put off that unbelief and put on the mind of Christ and just trust Him.
Amen.
You guys have any comments?
That terrible feeling of abandonment and fear of failure is really just an opportunity for the Lord to prove how His provision is in faithfulness. And when you actually can come out of that and be profitable for somebody else as well. How many times have I found myself? How many times have all of us found ourselves in the position where, you know, Jesus talks about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And his disciples, so then how can anybody be saved? And the result, how he answered that was with man, it's impossible, but with God, but all things are possible. In other words, the more desperate the situation, the more extraordinarily gracious and timely is the Lord's deliverance. It's this situation. The Lord was sitting there waiting on Saul to get on his knees and seek him so that he could deliver him in Israel and establish them.
And
how great was that?
The real issue that Saul had is he took a position that was not his to take. It wasn't his job to give sacrifice. That was Samuel's job.
Right.
That was Samuel's position. That was Samuel's job. And it was Samuel that was going to be the facilitator of fully establishing him. He was not going to be in a position to fully establish himself. The Lord was going to use Samuel to do that.
Yeah, he usurped Samuel's authority.
That's right.
It really showed where his heart was. His heart didn't honor Samuel's authority to begin with. Otherwise, right. He wouldn't have done that.
Right. You know, we hit things. I was talking to somebody recently about a stress test. You know, I test air guns. And if I take a product out of the box and shoot it 10 or 15 times, that's not a true evaluation of the quality of the product. You know, it may take 500 to 1,000 shots just to... Is it still shooting the same 1,000 shots later? Okay, then I can say, all right, this product may have some legs. But I've had some products that I take out of the box and they're good for the first couple hundred, and then all of a sudden things start falling apart. And then I'll write a report to the manufacturer and I'll tell them, all right, these are the issues you have, you know, A, B, C, and D, and these are some ways you can fix them. Realize that's the process we go through in our Christian walk. See, we can sort of take a few steps and be okay, but, you know, we're a month now past the conference. You know, that first week you get home, you hit a little bumpy road, but more we get excited, and then we hit it again, and yeah, we're a month out now, and things start maybe getting a little bit tougher. You know, the little pressure's a little bit more. You know, pretty soon we're going to be 6 months out, and then it's going to be conference time again, and where are we going to be? You know, those areas that the Lord's trying to show us that we need to work on, that we need to either surrender or we need to get over ourselves or we need to get rid of fear or, you know, whatever it is in our individual walks, the Lord's allowing things in our life to try us, to try our faith, to see where you're at. And the only way you're going to get that is going to be through tribulation. You know, we've talked about that. That tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, or not disappointed. We go through these things in our life so that we know where the weaknesses are, and then we can get those addressed. You know, the struggles we go through aren't necessarily just, you know, they're not somebody with a thumb on our, you know, trying to squish us. There's a point to it. There's a purpose to it. And it can yield some good stuff. Some of the the times after some of my most difficult experiences, I've had some of the best times. Let me just restart that sentence. I've had some of my best times in the Lord directly after some of my biggest screw ups.
Amen.
Some of my most insurmountable, can't be solved, can't be fixed, impossible situation. You know, on the other side of that, if you yet trust the Lord, on the other side of that is the miraculous hand of God. Amen. And all I can do is encourage you that if you're in that place, have heart. Have heart. You're not alone.
Hold fast.
Yeah, having done all to stand, do what?
Stand.
Stand, therefore.
You know, something was said. I mean, it's interesting you're talking about that, Rick, because that's some of the stuff we hit on on Tuesday Bible studies. And the other thing is when the conference was going on, David was talking about that eagle. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And he's talking about that eagle when the situations, you know, the wind's coming and the situation seems impossible and all these things. The eagle locks his arms and he sails above the he locks his arm and goes into that wind and sails above that situation and sails. Man, I messed it up and word. I mean, I didn't say it verbatim there, but the point's there.
He uses the turbulence of the wind to lift him above right. the circumstance and the turbulence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if we can learn to tie in or tap into that, that's going to change everything in our lives. Imagine going into a situation, you walk into work, Phil, and everything's just coming apart. And your attitude going, oh man, let's see what God's going to do today. And not in a presumptuous way that you'd want to smack somebody if they came and told you that, but
an expectation.
A genuine expectation of the goodness of the Lord that is going to minister a deliverance into that circumstance. That's what the Lord wants from us. You know, if Saul had had that mindset here, let's compare a little bit here, you know, Saul's mind to, say, David and Goliath. Was there any question? Was there any question in David's mind that Goliath was going to fall at his hand?
No.
Did it have anything to do with David being a really keen fighter?
No.
It had everything to do that this dude had defiled the armies of the living God, and God was not going to stand for it.
That's what David said.
You know, it was just clear as, it was absolutely clear that God was going to deliver Goliath into his hands, not because he was the best fighter, the most equipped, the had the best training, had the best, it was just the fact that God was not going to stand for it. And if he had faith, Goliath David, was going to fall.
David believed the word of the Lord.
That's the kind of faith we have to have. That's the kind of presence we have to have. That's the kind of heart we have to have. You can go through here and see. Let's see. It goes down further. Verse 15. Phil, why don't you keep reading?
And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgag unto Gibeah of Benjamin.
Hold on. I apologize. Verse 14 is what I want you to read. I apologize.
But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men.
Okay. You know, that verse 14 was really the key. The Lord is about people that have a heart for Him. Saul wasn't it. Despite all the advantages that had been given him. And you can go back and read where Samuel called Saul and God gave him a heart. God actually gave Saul a new heart. And even with that, Saul unravels. And here we see the Lord begin searching. He sought after, hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord has found that man in David.
Well, you know, it's why Paul can say, I glory in tribulation. And then he explains the work of tribulation. Tribulation is to either expose unbelief so you can deal with it, or to teach you expectation of the Lord's delivery. And that's why, either way, it's a glory. And Paul understood the process, and that's why he explained it that way in Romans 5.
Verse
How can you glory in tribulation? Easy. Expect the Lord's hand is going to move.
You know, the testimony that occurs is not only to yourself. I mean, Phil, you're able to now testify of the Lord's goodness in your life because you're on the other side of those trials and tribulations, at least some of them. Amen?
Amen.
James, you're able to testify and share with people because you're on the other side of some of those trials and tribulations, and the Lord has brought a deliverance. Paul's the same way. I'm the same way. The Lord has done miraculous things in our lives, and we're able to share those experiences with others that may yet, they don't have the same sort of track record in their life of the Lord's intervention. But we can encourage them that if they trust the Lord, He is there. He is able. And more importantly, He's willing.
He wants to, Rick.
You're right, James. He does want to. And we can see that clearly outlined here. The Lord hadn't set Saul up to be destroyed by the Philistines. He was actually set the Philistines up to be destroyed by Saul in the same way He set Pharaoh up to be swallowed up in the Red Sea. Now, yep. I was watching back on Memorial Day. This was this later, earlier this year. My wife was visiting up in Vermont, and I had the clicker to myself, which is a rarity. I pick on my wife about that because I can have it anytime I want, but I know she likes to use it, so I let her do it. But I pick on her because it's fun. Anyway, I had the clicker to myself, and I'm watching these Memorial Day services, and well, you talk about just sacrifice upon sacrifice of these people who did unbelievable things and serving this country and whatnot. It'll humble you. Anyway, there was a particular group. It might have been the Rangers or something like that. And they were completely surrounded. And the guy said, "We got them right where we want them." And they were surrounded like 10-1. And they're like, "We got them right where we want them." That's the heart we need to have about our God.
Amen.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir. When trust Him in all things.
It's just so beyond. It almost becomes humorous to the point of, and here's Saul, he's got 600 guys. He counts them. We got 600 guys. How many they got again? 36,000. We haven't counted the foot soldiers yet, Saul. Alright, we got them right where we want them. That's David. That was David's attitude.
Yeah.
And that's, if we can have that heart, that is to have a heart after God. Because it's not at all about what we can accomplish, but it's what God is going to accomplish through us. He's able. Oh man, is He able. How many times has He delivered, at this point, even in history, how many times has He delivered Israel over and over and over and over through miraculous intervention? It's where we absolutely have to be. If we're going to be effective in the Lord, we have to see the contrast between Saul's heart and David's heart. And we have to choose David. Then we will be effective and God will be glorified. And He will not only be established in our lives, but He will be established for all to see through what He does in our lives. And that's part of us having to go through those situations. We go through those situations, it's not just a deliverance for us. In fact, it's very little to do about us. And it's all about the glorification of God. And how He can be manifested to other people through that circumstance, through that situation, through that deliverance. You know, Jesus said, or it says in the Word about Jesus, I should say, that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. He looked at that deliverance that was going to be, that was going to come, that reconciliation between man and God, that the destruction of the partition of the wall between man and God, he looked at all that was going to be accomplished, and he focused on that. And that gave him what he needed to get through the other. And we can wrap ourselves around that.
You know, the other thing...
We could just wrap ourselves around that. Go ahead, Paul.
The other thing that was going on is, you know, Saul had some situations that were, you know, very troublesome. It was tribulation. And Saul had Samuel, who was the Lord's man there, who delivered the truth of the word of the Lord to Saul. It gave him opportunity to receive correction, and he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't receive it. And when Samuel points out the blessing that was awaiting him if he had just received the correction, it's shameful. But how often is that the case in our lives when we allow our fear to deny us what the Lord has for us? How many times?
Yeah, in so many ways, we have to be willing to let go of where we are and grab hold of that hand that's outstretched. And there's that moment of uncertainty that if we let go, we're going to fall. But what we don't realize is that when we grab hold of that hand, he ain't going to let go. He is going to deliver us. But we have to let go, and it could be letting go of our own intellect, letting go of our understanding, letting go of what's comfortable to us, letting go of relationships, letting go of whatever, sort of like the old get rid, let go of that old nasty bone and grab the good things that God has for us. But we have to, you know, if we've got both hands wrapped around the rope and it's burning and we're about to die and there's an outstretched hand, we have to let go of the rope and trust that when we grab that hand, we're going to be secure. He is always secure. Were you chuckling there, Paul?
No, I was trying to clear my throat away from the mic.
Oh, I thought you might have been chuckling. Thought something had hit you and you wanted to share it.
No.
Well, guys, we can kind of wrap things up. We're about done. James or Phil, you guys want to jump in here and put in the last couple 2 cents?
Well, Rick, it really, you know, we just need to, you know, it says lean not unto your own understanding. And like Paul had said this morning, you have to wake up every morning and choose that and choose to serve the Lord. Because everything while we were asleep is contradictory probably to what the Lord would have us do that day. So we wake up in the wrong place.
And we wake need to up just needing a reset.
Absolutely. And if we don't focus on the Lord to begin with, our day's not going to be a service unto him.
That's really true. Just for to add to the story here just a minute, I forgot this part down below. I'm just going to kind of bring it up anecdotally. It was already bad enough. It's 600 guys, right, against these thousands. And then you get down and you see that they don't even have swords. The Philistines had taken all the blacksmiths out of the country. And if the Israelites wanted to even sharpen their stuff, they had to go to the Philistines to get it sharpened. There was no sword. There was the only two swords that existed were with Saul and Jonathan. So not only were they grossly outnumbered, they had no arms. I mean, I get why Saul was terrified. It would have made that miracle of deliverance that much more incredible when the Lord would have utterly wiped out the Philistines. But because he didn't obey the Lord, and because he stepped over the bounds of his position, and because he feared the people more than God, and you know, the list continues, because that God's deliverance and the establishment of his kingdom were short-circuited. And if we're not careful and we're not paying attention and our eyes aren't on the Lord, the same can happen to us. And that's the lesson here.
Yep.
Phil, you got any couple last parting words here?
No.
Was that a nope?
That was a nope.
Okay. I wasn't sure. All right, Paul. Well, why don't you go ahead and wrap it up for us? And I will, when you're done talking, I'll kick on the music and we'll call it done.
Well, there's a whole heap of stuff of learning that you can take out of this. But there are no circumstances that come upon you that you cannot, that the Lord cannot use. But you seek him and seek his man who's over you. His deliverance is sure. His ways are sure if you just learn them. And our need, our ability to trust him shrinks when our minds shut down at night. So we need a reset every morning. Need a reset to remember how faithful and how good the Lord is. And just sit back in amazement. There's no circumstance that you're going to come across that he can't use to demonstrate to you and to those that you're dealing with how amazing is his deliverance.
It's interesting you say that, Paul, because it was Tuesday Bible study, and Sue says, you know, I came up with an idea I need to go ahead and do that. And it was something about making a jar and putting in how the Lord's delivered you and writing these things down and putting them in the jar and then opening that jar up in the mornings and start reading where the Lord has delivered you. It was a neat thing that she said there. So that was good, cool thing.
It's a good idea. I'm fixing to open up a can of whoop.
Yeah, no joke, right? So it was pretty cool. I don't know if she's got around to it yet. I know I didn't get around to it.
I don't know. We can get her in here and ask her if you want.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. I mean, but the point was good. The whole point was good. And that's what we were talking about. The opposite of murmuring, complaining is gratefulness, so.
All right, guys. Does that wrap it up for today?
It wraps it up here.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being here, and thank you all for listening. And we have the Texas service coming up next, so please stay tuned. And beyond that, we have the Jesus Factor with Scott Stevens. So still got a lot of good stuff to come. So thank you all for being with us today. May the Lord bless you.
May God bless.
May the Lord bless you.